This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark, sitting in for Cynthia Canty.
My failure.
My divorce.
I felt totally bamboozled.
And I thought, this has to end. I can't do this anymore.
A story from Failure Lab, from Andy Soper in Grand Rapids.
So my name's Andy, and my story of failure doesn't happen until I was 23, but it starts when I was 4, and I blame my mother, because my mother, you know what, maybe my story starts in 1968 when my mom found John Lennon, but it's, she's equal parts John Lennon and Jesus, if that makes sense to you. And so I don't know which side my story of failure comes from, but we'll figure that out someday, I'm sure. But when I was a kid, I had this constant message to me from my mom. Andy, every day in every way, things are getting better and better. And she continued that mantra while she was working at a domestic violence shelter. Andy, every day in every way, things are getting better and better. And she believed it. And I was sucker enough to believe it. Because inside I had this sense that, Mom, I believe you. Every day in every way, things are getting better and better. And yet this sense of the bottom's about to drop out. And I don't know, I lost my dad when I was a kid, all that, so this isn't a therapy session. Just try to give you some background. But I knew something awful was about to happen all the time. And I've had this push-pull in my life ever since I can remember. And that culminates to 2003, 2004, I got married young. My wife and I, good Christians started having babies like that. And I went to graduate school and I got a degree in popular culture, which is a real degree. Unlike my undergrad of communications, which is not. But, you know, I got done with that degree, and contrary to my thoughts, nobody wanted to hire me to talk about, you know, tattoos and queer studies. It wasn't going that way. So I had made this choice, like so many other men in my family before me, during wartime, we should join the Army. And I had this sense of blue-collar background, right? My mom's a baker. My dad's a construction worker. I am not going in as an officer. I'm going to go in as a grunt. I'm going to be a tank mechanic. Mind you, I can't barely put gas in my car, right? So my wife and I had one little girl at that time, Wheezy. She was pregnant with Francis, and I enlist. And, you know, it seemed like the best choice at the time. And I remember getting to Fort Knox, and we're driving down range, and we're going to go to basic training, and the captain is standing in the front of the bus, and everybody's kind of quiet. And he says, boys, this is the calm before the storm. And he had this kind of like Kentucky accent. And we're all supremely quiet because we know what's about to happen because we've all seen Full Metal Jacket. And we're all wondering which one is Private Pyle in the group, right? Someone's not making it out of the bathroom on the last day. So he gets off the bus, this angry-looking drill sergeant who was just chiseled granite gets on, and he says in this calm voice that kind of ramped up to when I first heard the word "fuck" in the Army, and he said, gentlemen, you have 5 seconds to get the f***, and it was on, right? Everybody's running off the bus, and the bags are getting thrown, and it's chaotic, and you're trying to figure out, am I supposed to be doing jumping jacks or push-ups? And they look the same because everybody's doing something different. And I'm standing there, and for 5 minutes, which it might have been an hour, but it was probably 5 minutes, nobody yelled at me. And I was standing there as this bald, overweight white guy waiting to get screamed at, and it wasn't happening, and I told myself, don't laugh, Soper, keep your mouth shut, do not laugh. And everything was fine. Like the extent of physical anything that happened to me while I was there was just kind of grabbing me and saying, move this way or move that way. And everything was cool until we went inside and all of a sudden everything just changed. And out of nowhere, there's drill sergeants that have video cameras, right? And they're yelling about, boys, you're being sharked in. And I tell you what, anytime shark is used as a verb, you're in trouble. And it turned from just moving us from one place to the other to all of a sudden kids are getting beat up. And when I say kids, we're talking, I mean, 17, 18-year-old kids fresh out of high school. And I felt like I was old at 23. And I'm watching them, and at first it's the kid next to me that gets punched, and he falls down. And the next one gets thrown into a wall locker, and I'm thought, this isn't right. And I knew, my mom had taught me, you speak up when something's not right. And then it started happening to me. I couldn't keep up, right? I was a little out of shape. Look, anybody's out of shape for that. And I started getting kicked. And I remember being told to get something, and I turned around to get something in my wall locker. And this drill sergeant kicks it so hard, it goes off the side of my head and it stars and I can't see anything. And I was terrified. And I don't get scared easy. And in the process of that day, we're up and down the stairs, getting stuff from downstairs, coming up. And I get it to the top of the stairs and this drill sergeant is standing at the top of the stairs. And what you, if you've never been in the Army, there's a secret code and like a password or whatever. And it involves drill sergeant at the beginning and drill sergeant at the end. And you got to know what to say in the middle. And I didn't know it yet. And I get to the top of the stairs, and I couldn't remember what to say, so I tried to slink around him. 6'3", 275 does not slink anywhere, right? And he grabbed me and just, right up off my feet, he couldn't have been 5'8", and just threw me down the stairs. And I remember hitting the bottom, and pop, something popped in my back, and I couldn't feel, like it hurt like crazy, but I couldn't feel my left leg really well, and I was just freaking out. And this goes on for hours. We're getting beat up. I'm not kidding you when I tell you that kids were getting thrown through things. And we're laying on the ground trying to do push-ups and getting kicked in the ribs and you can't breathe and you're crying and trying to hide that. And I was out of my mind terrified. So night comes and I'm so grateful. They shut the lights off. I'm laying up on the top bunk. It's about 6 feet up in the air. And I'm laying there and I've never been this scared in my life. And I thought, this has to end. I can't do this anymore. And it wasn't a thought that I should say something and help anybody around me. It was all about me at that point. I got to get out of here. And my leg was killing me. My back hurt. And I thought, I can end this. So I scooted myself to the edge of the bed. And I thought, I'm 6 feet up. If I fall, it'll be over. My back will break. That'll be it. And I'm thinking about my wife and I'm thinking about my daughters. And I'm so scared. I remember saying, that's it. And I pushed. And I remember reaching up for the ceiling, thinking, not to grab it to stop myself, but to think if my shoulders are forward, I'll hit my back and that'll end it. And I land and pop, there it goes again. And I'm laying on there on the ground and I can't breathe. And the drill sergeant comes in and he's kicking me, telling me to get up. I couldn't. So they call the ambulance. They come in, they x-ray me. Yeah, sure enough, it's broken, but not bad enough. Here's your pain pill, son. And this goes on for another week until somebody higher up hears what's happening and says, we're going to take care of this for you. So after about 2 months of me taking pain pills and all of that, I said, yeah, I'm not going to take the pain pills anymore. Look at that. I'm not blaming the Army, right? You can't be a group of 500,000 people can't be responsible for four, in my opinion. And I decided not to take the pain meds, and it all went downhill. I was out of the Army. I couldn't stand upright anymore. I needed surgery, and well, there are some cracks in your back before you joined the Army. Do you ever play football? No, I played hockey, the real sport. So I'm out of the Army, but I have to fly back and forth to testify against these drill sergeants, and some were going to jail, and some were getting kicked out. I was being called a coward and a liar on the stand. And I remember thinking on the stand is the same thing I struggled with for probably 4 or 5 years after that. My failure was not rolling myself off the top bunk. I'm ashamed of that to this day. I feel like a coward that moment. My failure was that I forgot what my mom taught me when I was 4 every day and every way things are getting better and better. But for that to happen, you have to open your mouth, boy. My failure was not protecting these 16 and 17-year-old kids around me. And I've carried that with me since I left the Army. What do I do? How do I protect? How do I engage to make everything better? And yet, I'm not going to lie to you, I have this pit of in my stomach feeling the bottom's about to drop out. And I kind of live with that. And I think every now and again, before you go to sleep, say a little prayer. Thanks.
Andy Soper telling his story of failure in Grand Rapids. We'll hear more of these stories on Stateside from our partners at Failure Lab. Find out more about Failure Lab and listen to more stories at failure-lab.com.